The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. Keith and Jonathan each have over 25 years spearheading business transformation programs for Fortune 1000 companies. Keith Koo is an expert on marketing and advertising, risk management, and risk mitigation. Jonathan Ziegler's background is in enterprise sales, management consulting, and marketing. Together, they're the managing partners of Guardian Insight Group, leveraging the diverse knowledge in industries such as technology, financial services, fintech, healthcare, energy, and retail. And they're here to help you break out from your current mindset, make a revolutionary shift in your business goals, and achieve greater success. Now, your hosts for Guardian Insights, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and in the studio with me is my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. And we're the company that wants to help emerging technologies understand the risks involved with doing business in order for them to succeed.
In addition to that piece of this puzzle, Keith, one of the other things that we like to work with is the whole concept of risk. And there's a lot of it out there. We talked about this last week. We've been talking about it for several weeks, that with the challenges that a startup faces, that a going concern faces, that a publicly traded company faces, they're not that different. They just happen to be more scalable, I think, is the best way to describe it. So one of the things that you and I were talking about for discussion today is this whole concept around where we were last week, which is cost containment without getting the, without having the need to get rid of people. And we talked about that last week. I kind of wanted to just wrap that up because we didn't have a whole lot of time on it last week. We used an example, or you gave an example, one that I was just flabbergasted, blown away by. You were able, with your small team, to save your company that you were working for at the time $20 million a year for a period of time just by reevaluating your telecom contracts. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And when we say that, I mean, the number of people isn't as relevant as understanding the steps it takes to go through that analysis in order to get to the $20 million a year savings. Actually, all the teams I've ever been involved with, corporate and then also in our consulting group, we've been able to far exceed the targets that our customers have on cost savings. But again, that takes the wherewithal to understand all the components, the holistic view of your expense landscape and different companies, different vendors, all the different triggers and levers that you have to achieve those savings.
But looking, you know, just $20 million, that's a huge number for any company. You know, in this particular case, I know it's a publicly traded company that you work for and very well known out there. But at the same time, that's a lot of money to be spending on telecom in this day and age, isn't it? Because your bill was originally, what, $50 million, 50? Is that right?
Yeah, we were rounding, but yes, it was upwards of $50 million. And I think the key to understanding your business, you as a business owner, you as a corporate executive, is that once you understand your business model, in this case, this company relied a lot on quote-unquote cloud, even pre-cloud, and all the connectivity that their consumers have in order to connect to them. And there's scale. So that's why you have multiple telecom companies.
Redundancy.
You've got lots of redundancy. We have a term in the technology world and business continuity world, N plus one. Well, we were trying to design for N plus two.
Yeah, I got that. And I think that was one of the reasons why you guys were spending what you were spending. But still, that's a huge savings. And this is one of the reasons why I'm talking about this and why I wanted to kind of wrap it back in is because this is what we do every day. We talk to our clients, our customers, our prospects. We talk with our partners about how we bring this kind of savings opportunity to the table. And again, the goal is to try and avoid getting the human capital involved up front, correct?
Right. I mean, we're working right now with a company that very similar, the result of three acquisitions, so three companies merging into one. Mm-hmm. And they are also a cloud-based company that serves lots of, not consumers, but lots of enterprises. The volume of enterprises could be
could seen be seen as a consumer level. Yeah.
Right. So they have lots of connectivity and lots of opportunity to compress that spend.
Yeah. So the economies of scale then come into play in this consideration. But again, I'm trying to understand a little bit more for our listeners' sake. You know, this is one of those situations where you got to pick up the phone, you got to call us, and you got to ask us how we did this. This is one of those things where I realistically believe that we can do the same kind of thing for just about anybody out there. May not be the same scale, again, but 10% is a traditional number that we like to talk about when we meet with our customers and prospects in terms of cost savings. That could be for anything. That could be for your telecom. That could be for your corporate contracts with your high-end software providers. That could be a Salesforce.com consideration. Who knows? So pick up the phone. Give us a call. Let us know what your thoughts are and what your challenges are. And I want to talk a little bit more about how you went about doing this $50 million to $20 million savings. But I also want to ask you a question around, you know, the whole concept of the blanket cost savings puzzle. When we walk into a customer, you know, what do we start to look for when we walk in with the typical, say, let's use a mid-sized customer, not necessarily a publicly traded, but not necessarily a publicly traded company, somebody in the middle there. How would we come in and kind of do the initial evaluation?
Well, I think for any size customer, mid-size or large or even small, we're going to ask, we want to see your financials. We want to see your expenses related to everything. Mm-hmm. And really, we've said it in a couple of shows before, three biggest drivers of indirect spend for companies here in the Valley are technology, marketing, and facilities.
Right.
And that is a huge amount of spend outside of people. And a lot of times we talk about capital expenditure or CapEx or operating expenditure or OpEx. And what we're saying is that in every situation we've been in, on average, if you've not gone through this exercise, there is a 10% savings embedded in your existing way of doing things.
And it really doesn't matter what stage the company is in terms of their lifespan with their agreements or with their vendors?
No, and here's why. So, you know, like for instance, telecom, rates get changed as often or no longer than every 18 months.
18 months.
Right. So if you had the Uber telecom team working for you 5 years ago, you've probably had 2, 3, maybe 4 rate changes since then.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And they're usually going up. They're not going down.
No, they're usually getting cut. It's kind of the economy of scale. You know, like the whole inflation around buying a computer?
Yeah.
The government decides that it's not inflation because for the same price, you get more and more technology.
Yeah, the Moore's Law consideration that every 18 months that processing power doubles.
Yeah, although Moore's Law is coming to an end, but that's a different show.
Yeah, no, I know. We'll talk about that some other time, but I think we had that conversation offline last week. In any case, this is one of those situations where, you know, I scratch my head sometimes when a prospect is talking to us, and we've had a couple of conversations recently, you know, in my realm, where somebody says, you know, hey, with all these solutions out there, with all these vendors out there, I don't know which are mission critical versus which aren't. And that's a consideration too. And, you know, I do want to quote unquote cut my costs, but why is it so hard for me to just stop and say, well, I'm going to cut the marketing department?
Well, this is exactly what we've been talking about. We've been talking about in other shows, is that you need a holistic approach. So if it were me, internal to a corporation, a company, I would be asking the question, if I were the CFO and said, hey, I need to cut expenses by 10% and I need to do it within the next month, within the next quarter, within the next year, right?
Like one of our previous customers.
Several.
Yeah.
The whole thing is you have to care about each other. You have to care. It sounds a little bit kumbaya, but you have to care about each other's division or group, because technology is so woven into the fabric of a company now,
mm-hmm,
that one decision that the facilities you make might cause a decision for the IT team, might cause a decision for the marketing team. Here's an example, right? We've used the telecom example one more time, right? If your data center is being served by different groups within a company and they see each other as siloed, you might have multiple circuits and multiple data connections that you don't need.
Yeah, the duplication of effort.
Right. And sometimes it's a fiefdom, sometimes it's mm-hmm. just because,
yeah.
Sometimes the way the company grew up.
Yeah. Or like you said, like our situation with the current customer where three divisions are being merged into one.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's a big, or three companies are being merged into one. That's, yep. that's a big situation in almost every situation that we're dealing with, or big conversation in almost every situation that we're dealing with right now, is that there is some sort of M&A activity, or there is some sort of, maybe even a divestiture situation. So all of those are coming into play.
So before we get back, in our next segment, we do want to finish up on this topic.
Yeah.
And then go into another topic, Internet of Things.
Yeah, Internet of Things, IoT. That means idiots out talking, right? Something like that? No, I'm just kidding. All right. So when we come back to the next segment, I do want to talk a little bit more about this cost savings thing, because it is a big deal, and it's something that we talk about with our customers all the time. In addition to that, you mentioned OPEX, and that's part of our telephone number, 1-888-388-OPEX, 1-888-388-OPEX. You can find us on the web at gigsv.biz. That's G-I-G, S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz, gigsv.biz. When we come back, let's finish up this this cost control consideration, and then we'll talk about IoT as well. Thanks.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, with my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. In our last segment, we were wrapping up on a discussion around cost savings. We've been talking about it for a few shows now. And really, the point we're trying to drive home is that you need to take a holistic approach to cost savings, something that we have a methodology for. And you know, there's just so many considerations you as an entity have to take into account to do this properly.
So, Keith, you were talking about the methodology. This is one of those things that a lot of people believe that they're already doing in some way, shape, or form. But we talked a little bit in the last segment, too, about fiefdoms and silos and a potential individual department or business line making a decision on something technology-related, for example, that can have impacts across the company's let's just call it across the board. And that's one of the reasons why it's important to bring us in, because our methodology actually evaluates looking across the board and where you might not even initially think about from your perspective as a CIO, for example, or a CISO, for example, or a CFO even.
Yeah, I mean, we believe the differentiation between what we do versus other consulting practices in regards to cost containment or expense control is really adding the element of risk awareness, so that you know that before you make that decision, you know, eyes wide open, you'll know what the potential impacts to your business are. So the example we were giving before about this data center where you have multiple data circuits going to the same location, two different groups that rely on two separate vendors, what have you, mm-hmm. You might think, hey, just cutting one of these circuits is going to be a good thing and that we're going to save a lot of money. Well, without doing the proper analysis, you may not know that there's a reason why you have what appears to be a redundant circuit.
Your business continuity program could go out the window right there.
Right.
Yeah.
But then that brings a whole other question, that if you're looking at it from just growing up in that space and you know that you had a really tried and true tested methodology on your business continuity, mm-hmm. well, then it leads to, well, you know, maybe we could have done this a lot cheaper if we used our backup in the cloud.
Yeah, exactly. And cloud's a big consideration today, too. It's not just a buzzword anymore.
Right. And so what we're talking about is this discipline around expense management and cost savings with a risk lens. If you do this as more than a one-time event based on a market trigger like a recession, mm-hmm. you can get real advantages and real cost savings, but also get efficiencies, economies of scale. And these aren't just buzzwords. These are really real.
No, this is what we do every day, and this is what we're all about. So this is one of those situations where, again, pick up the phone, give us a call. It's toll-free, 888-388-6739, or as I said earlier, 888-388-OPEX. And visit us on the web, too, at gigsv.biz, and take a look at our site as well. We have our four pillars mentioned there as well, which is part of our methodology. It's important for people to understand, and this is you, the business owner, you, the C-level executive, you, the board of director member. We will come in and speak to you as a board and help you understand why this is critical to the business growth, but also help you understand why your human capital is the most important asset of all of these assets that we've discussed today, and why it makes sense for you to not necessarily come in and pick those people off in the beginning. So again, reach out and call us at 888-388-6739, and let's move on. We'll talk about this again, I'm sure, because we have other opportunities. But I know you had mentioned something about Internet of Things, and obviously I was making fun of it in the last segment because it's such a buzzword today. But you were attending a conference yesterday, is that right?
Yeah, right. And so, you know, the IoT, one of the great things I love about doing our show, Jonathan, is just the concept of emerging technologies. And as much as we see emerging technologies, whether it's IoT, we've talked about blockchain, we talk about big data and analytics, all of this means that the rate of technology and change is exponential. So this conference yesterday was led by ReadWrite, which is the leading incubator of IoT. So shout out to Reg, mm-hmm. who sponsored the program. And it was called IoT Revolution.
Revolution?
Yeah.
It was called
IoT Revolution. That was the name of this one-day conference at the Palace of Fine Arts. But the whole focus, though, was on security.
Why?
Well, this is good. So it was sponsored by Ovum. There was an Ovum analyst, and you know, his quote was, to kick off the conference, smart devices installed base will double in the next 5 years. Which of these are secure? And he ended the quote with, none, really.
None, really.
Right.
So nothing's secure.
Nothing's secure. And not that that was any surprise to these.
Well, the people in the audience were probably the people who've been in this business or in this space for the you know, since the beginning, right?
Yeah, and can you imagine that the analyst at this conference said that they were tracking 2,500 IoT companies already?
Holy cow, 2,500?
Yeah.
Is that just in this area or is that global?
That's global.
Wow.
2,500 IoT companies, and the way they stratified it, I mean, without the visual, mm-hmm. they had connected devices. They had everything all spread out. So you had the energy sector, healthcare sector. You had just a group called Connected Things.
Yeah.
You had consumer, you had enterprise. And really, the gist of this is that IoT is going to be everywhere.
Of course it is.
Why don't we talk just a little bit for what IoT is?
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, what's your interpretation of what IoT is? My interpretation is this, that in the space, and whatever space it is, consumer, retail, I have retail examples, so I'll use that to begin with, okay? So the whole concept of smart shopping, which is something that a lot of our prospects and a lot of our customers are trying to get to today, is the ability to have everything that you as a consumer would do in a bricks and mortar setting do online with the ability to use sensor technology. And what that could be is that could be when you go to the retail store, there's a beacon in the middle that is similar to a hotspot for your Wi-Fi. And that beacon sees that you're in an aisle and you're looking at a sweater. And that sweater happens to be black, red, or green, and you happen to stop at the black one. Well, immediately the beacon knows that you're standing there at the green one, and there's a sensor on the tag for the green sweater. And automatically it pulls up a pair of khaki pants that match that green sweater and says, hey, by the way, here's a $5 off coupon if you walk over and pick up that pair of khaki pants right now. So that's my understanding of Internet of Things. There are things that have the sensors. There are things that have the ability to read and write. There's the ability to monitor where you are inside the store. And then, as I was talking about offline, the smart shopping concept, there are VR and alternative reality and AI kind of situations and machine learning considerations that we'll talk about in addition to that in the next segment. But all of that comes into play to, quote unquote, make a different shopping experience for the individual retail customer.
Exactly. And that's just retail.
Yeah.
Now apply that to energy.
Well, apply it to anything. And I have energy experience. And Trilliant, I think, was one of the companies that was represented yesterday at that conference. I used to work for them. They're the sensor technology behind the smart meters for power, water, and gas.
Well, here's the funny thing. So at this conference, they had that grid. Again, the visual would fill up more than your simple web browsing page. But it's the first conference I've been to in a while where there were more companies who said they were there than were actually there.
Oh,
and
really?
What I mean by that is, you know, all the major enterprise technology companies, they all were shown on the grid as having sponsored this event.
Uh-huh.
So whether it was...
But they didn't necessarily have a presence there?
No. So no, whether it was Hitachi IoT, NetApp IoT, every company had their IoT division.
Interesting.
Pretty, yeah.
Interesting.
And this was just the Americans. There was actually a whole separate similar page for the Chinese.
No kidding. Wow. Well, I think the thing that's interesting is we talk about the data that's behind these sensors. I'm a big data guy and an analytics guy. And the data that's behind these sensors is amazing. Just for example, and this was 10 years ago, the first of the electric smart meters that were installed in North America were up in the greater Ontario area. And there was a description of the fact that there were 9,600 bits of data transmitted by one electric meter every minute at that time. And I know that that has changed and increased exponentially because now you've got sensor technology in the appliances in the house. You've got sensor technology on your load control devices, which are like your pool pump and your hot tub pump and your solar heating situation as well. So there's so many different areas around that.
So let's do this because we're about to go to our station break. One thing I would really talk about is IoT is an up-and-coming, exciting technology, lots, you know, almost an infinite amount of use cases. But there's definitely a dark side to this. And this is where that conference yesterday came into. It's called the IoT Revolution. But it really should have been called the IoT of insecurity.
So when we come back, we're going to provide some therapy for that insecurity that you just described, Keith. The therapy session will begin after the next break, and you can reach us at gigsv.biz. That's G-I-G, S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz, or toll free at 1-888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX. Come on back for some therapy after this.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, with my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. In our last segment, we were just starting to talk about the limitless, almost limitless use cases for the Internet of Things, connected devices, your smart home, your smart car, etc. But then we also started talking about the dark side of IoT, which is just how inherently insecure the platform is today.
Well, it's not just the platform, but I think it's the concept of what the platform is. And as we talked about at the end of the last segment, it's time for some therapy. And I think that's one of the things that's really going to be important to our listeners as well as our customers, is that still there's a lot of buzz around what IoT represents in the marketplace, what potential, what opportunities. But security is something that we know a lot about. We've talked a lot about in the past. We've had specialists on. We've had representatives on. We've talked a lot about the data breaches and so on and so on. This is a whole new realm when you're talking about IoT, because, for example, the pen that you're holding in your hand could have 2,500 sensors in it. Checking your body temperature could become an automatic little lie detector, you know, down the road with IoT.
Right.
Right. Your cell phone has motion sensors. It has altimeters. It has all sorts of other things in it. I have no idea today what the iPhone potentially has in terms of sensors, but I've heard rumors that the newest version, the X or 10, has twice or three times the number of IoT sensors, as it were, that the previous models have had. And I don't know. And I don't want to know, because that just means that when I do get that phone, that they're going to have more ways to spy on me, potentially.
Only if you believe in conspiracy, Jonathan.
Well, but I'm saying the insecurity, right? That's what I'm feeling right now.
Well, that was it was more than just an epiphany for everybody in attendance at this conference. And we had talked about on the top of the show that this conference, the analysts who sponsored the conference, Ovum, they were tracking already 2,500 IoT startups around the world.
Right.
And this is where the conversation got really interesting. So there was panels. And in the panels, the topic, just as you mentioned, Jonathan, was security.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start off with first the question of how do we make IoT more secure? That was a broad statement by all these experts in IoT.
When you say experts, this reminds me of kind of like the open source revolution several years ago. Just to do some sort of comparison for some of our people who are listening, if you're talking about people who have been in the space for a year, they're considered experts. Is that not right?
Right.
So even the analysts haven't necessarily had a long history doing this, but they may be engineers, they may be electromechanical engineers, they may be people who actually know the space pretty well, but they don't necessarily have a hell of a lot of experience, pardon my French. But it's one of those situations where I think we have to kind of temper this, if you get my drift, because security in the true sense of the term is one thing. But when you don't know where a sensor is, or you don't know what is being monitored by that sensor, or you don't know what kind of data is being collected, how do you even have a concept of what's secure and what's not?
Well, let's take your comment about maybe you only need a year to be an expert in the technology world because technology changes so fast that you might be just the Uber engineer, or you might be the Uber business executive, and so you know how to put some of this together, but you can't put all of it together.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to offend anybody by any means.
No, no, and I think that that's the point, right? So these peers in the industry who all respected each other, they all had a different flavor, a different take. So when you talk about IoT, and we'll get to more philosophical aspects around what I'm going to call convergence for parts of the show, is that you had folks in IoT, one, there are people who supply the actual, what we call the sensor module.
Right.
So this is the commoditized widget that speaks, you know, Wi-Fi, near field, Bluetooth, OTA. This is what speaks the language that has the connected devices, what enables the Fitbit on your wrist to speak to your iPhone, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you had those folks. Yep. You had the software folks, people writing applications for.
Right.
You had the people doing services, so people who write applications or the outsourced application provider.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are talking about security. You had consumers of that. There were several major companies that, you know, one has 30,000 patents on technology, and they're all in on IoT.
And why is it that this is, I mean, this is one of the same, it's a similar scenario to me as data security or privacy, something like that, or lack thereof. And this is, again, where my angst is starting to rise from the therapy perspective. You know, this is one of the situations where as a consumer, you and I are both consumers and we all, you know, every one of us is a consumer of some sort of commodity or product, right? We all have this consideration today that privacy has kind of gone out the window to an extent. I mean, I feel that way. I'm sure other people feel differently, but it's one of those situations where you have this situation where you have this group of horizontal people in the expertise categories in each of these areas. And they're all saying, what is security? So there's no true definition yet. And I know that that's kind of nebulous and I'm not trying to kind of go way out there. But what I'm trying to say is if they don't know, then what makes us confident as consumers that they're ever going to figure that out?
Well, here's the interesting point of yesterday's conference. All these experts who had an opinion, they're all experts for what they did know.
Right. So they're siloed with where they were?
Right. So they're siloed. So we talked in our last segment just around cost savings and organizations, how because of silos, they don't see the big picture or they don't see. So this is a group trying to see the big picture, but they're locked into their silo.
Yeah. So how do you address this? I mean, this is one of those situations where like you've got the Zigbee Alliance, for example, which is one of those, call it a consolidated effort by the industry. You know, an industry trade group to come together and say Zigbee should be one method of communication that is used in the energy space alone, for example, or set-top boxes. And I have experience with them. Is that similar to what you think this is going to evolve to? Are they going to have some sort of industry trade organization, or is there one already for IoT standards or something like that?
It came up over and over again that there needs to be this type of standard, right? And and we brought up the fact. One of the speakers brought up the fact that we already have Underwriters Labs, and what another speaker said is Underwriters Labs only is in the business of making sure things are secure from a health and safety standpoint.
So why is this important? This is one of those things where I'm still scratching my head. What does this help? Excuse me. What does this cause our customers or our prospects and our listeners? Why would they lose sleep over this?
Well, why they should lose sleep is in the point I made at the conference. When we think about, Jonathan, why you and I created our business and why we created our show is because all businesses, and especially enabled by technology, so you don't have to be a technology company, but if you are a company that's being enabled by technology.
You're a consumer.
Right. It's happening faster than you can keep up with the regulations. We look at banking, and we talk about banking a lot because that's one of the industries that I came from. But we talk about it in terms of banking. Banks, regulators decided, hey, we know we can't keep up with it, so therefore it's no longer necessarily our problem. We're going to write regulations and guidances to make it your problem.
Yeah.
And why this is relevant to your question about how this, for our clients, our customers, you listening to us right now, is that until such time that the government does step in, which I do think will be soon, and what we talked about, and this is really scary, a number of us said it's going to take deaths. And why we say that, and this is not being facetious, is that IoT is everywhere. It's in medical applications.
Right.
It's in pacemakers. Right. It's in everything.
Right. And we have real world experience with, for example, an insulin pump situation where that could very well be hacked. And God forbid that could be used to kill somebody.
Right. And so once somebody decides they're going to hack something, mm-hmm. it's going to be to the detriment of human beings.
Yeah.
That's when the government will step in. But until then, and they could do it quicker than that. We talked about this use case because one person had mentioned, again, these are all very respected people.
Yeah.
One person had mentioned, well, we don't need to regulate all IoT devices because some things just aren't that important. And we were reminded that back in July of this year, 2017, and everyone's very careful not to name the casino.
Right.
A casino was hacked via their smart aquarium.
Their fish tank.
They're not just eight, like not like your 20 or 40 gallon fish tank.
I get it.
This is like one of those major when you see on TV.
Yeah.
The fish tank had an insecure IoT sensor in it.
No kidding.
Right.
Wow.
And so they were able to steal 10 gigabytes of data, which isn't trivial, over a period of time because the fish tank got hacked.
Wow.
And
who would have thought, right?
Right.
That's amazing. I mean, not that I'm surprised by it by any means, because unfortunately, the bad guys tend to be very, very smart and very crafty. And we know this, and we've had conversations in our previous shows about how to prevent protect yourself from that and protect your business from that. But that's as soon as you figure something else out, the bad guys figure out the next step or next three steps so that they can be ahead of you.
Right. So the very next question that was asked broadly was, well, who's responsible for the risk? Who's responsible for security? And it's funny to hear this from people who, outside of a regulated industry like insurance or banking or healthcare, they're asking the right question, who's responsible for the risk, but they're not educated.
No, and they don't have the answer. And that's one of the things that we have to start kind of stepping up and telling people that we can do, because we bring the right players in to help discuss that and figure out what makes sense for that particular industry, right, or that particular business.
Right. This is where the convergence aspect of what we're talking about is that we have always felt that technology is awesome. Technology is great. We love being in the Silicon Valley. But we're getting to a point now where companies cannot ignore risk.
Right.
And whether they consciously did it or subconsciously did it, when we had Doug Park from Park and DeBage, Attorneys at Law, this is all about what they were talking about with blockchain.
Blockchain, yeah.
So although this show's about IoT, it's the same concept that we have emerging technologies, lots of startups, and you know, somebody really should be holding their hand through the regulatory process.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely the case. So I think that's one of the challenges that we've talked about this pretty much since day one, where you bring us in, we do a holistic review, we do an assessment, we do a technology review, we meet with the various stakeholders, the board of directors, the shareholders, if need be, in certain cases, because we've had situations where a dissident board member has brought his shareholders in. We meet these people and we sit down and we kind of get a holistic view of what they're trying to accomplish, the business is trying to accomplish. Then we bring our methodology in and kind of put that together and try and handle what we need to handle. And then we prioritize and allow the customer to say, what's your highest priority based on this list of items? That's how we would typically engage with somebody. Is that the best way to describe it?
Absolutely.
And with IoT being a kind of a new thing to some people, and like I said, you know, I've kind of alluded to, I'm a little scared of the IoT concept as well, but I've also been in and around the whole sensor market for a long, long time. Dumb sensors are a different story. That's one thing that we have to kind of bring into. So when we talk about our solution, we sincerely bring in our best approach and our industry expertise and over 25 years of experience. So when we come back, we'll continue this because I think it's more therapy. I think we still need to do some more. And the therapist is definitely in today. But again, thanks for kind of shedding light on this, Keith, because this is one of those situations where I really believe that we have a lot to offer our customers and prospects out there. So you can reach us at toll free 888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX or GIGSV. That's G-I-G, S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz. And when we come back, the doctor will come back and give us some more therapy. Thank you.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, Elevating Business to the Next Level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, with my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. And we've been having a really great conversation around the insecurity of IoT, the Internet of Things. So, Jonathan, when we were finishing up the last segment, we were talking about therapy and that we can really help companies in their journey through the IoT discussion. One thing, this is just practical thoughts for a company doing IoT. So this is whether you're developing IoT or implementing IoT, is that there's really four considerations when we talk about security in general.
Right.
So people normally think of the software involved.
Right.
And every 99.9% of the people yesterday at this conference, IoT Revolution, was like, software is not secure. We're not even going to talk about that. But,
right.
But that's just one consideration.
Right.
The next one would be hardware. So there's a lot of folks who said we need to lock down the hardware.
The platform.
And we'll get back to that because you were just starting to mention in the last segment about insecure modules.
Right.
Then there's the whole concept of the network.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, what everyone thinks of is the endpoint, the actual connection itself.
Right, where it's going to become the sensor receiving the data.
So multiple voices all saying that every one of these groups need to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And really the summary there is that, and this is very akin to the financial industry and how they look at third-party risk,
mm-hmm.
is that everywhere along the supply chain, anyone who's involved with IoT, security is the responsibility.
Right.
And, you know, I would say, if you're developing IoT or implementing IoT, you better get used to that now because that's where I believe our government's headed.
Well,
just like with GDPR,
right,
I think that the U.S. will also have a GDPR-like regulation. This ties it all together that all these emerging technologies will have some form of regulation, just like blockchain.
Yeah, and you described that in a previous segment where we talked about how GDPR-like regulation is imminent. More than likely, especially now with the SEC starting to come down, for example, on ICOs, you know, coin offerings and in the Bitcoin realm, that's a telltale sign that regulation is afoot. It's just a question of when. And I think right now, you know, our nation's leadership is focused on other things, but at some point very soon, they will come into a situation where a GDPR-like solution is going to have to come to play.
Right, and I think you made a perfect point because we just had Doug Park of Park and DeBage, Attorneys at Law, on three shows ago.
And Doug's a super attorney. I mean, remember, this guy is a genius, and he's brilliant when it comes to money and financial matters. And talking to him yesterday, that man knows more. He'll forget more about money and finance than I will ever know. Let's just put it that way. And go ahead, because I just want to kind of reiterate how intelligent he is.
No, but that's where we were talking about the fluid nature of emerging technologies.
Right.
We had him on three shows ago, and the SEC is already now trying to define what the regulations, the parameters around blockchain are.
Yeah.
And so the lesson learned for folks involved with these emerging technologies is that it's no longer going to work to say I'm going to develop this killer app, this killer product.
Yeah.
And worry about the regulations and compliance later.
Yeah.
As Doug said, you need to have your product design integrated with your compliance and legal and regulatory matters.
Up front. Yeah.
And just now as we start talking to more venture capitalists,
yeah.
more private equity firms, they're all starting to say the same thing, especially
yeah.
around IoT. This
yeah.
is the first time we're hearing
that. Well, I think they're also realizing that there's a lot going on. You know, for example, the SEC is now sending letters to anybody who's doing an initial coin offering. And they're actually saying that no matter what type of token it is, whether it's utility or security, it is considered a security. And so therefore, they have the right to regulate it. And I think what we talked about yesterday, South Korea has already made a pronouncement, for example, on the fact that any type of cryptocurrency or crypto offering is going to be vetted and monitored and regulated as a security.
No, as a commodity.
As a commodity. Yeah. Sorry.
And that's only just because in South Korea, it's easier for them to monitor commodities
than currency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we talked about.
But
okay.
But the whole story there is yeah. that it will be regulated.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to detract from the IoT consideration and the four key points that you brought up, the hardware, the software, networking and the endpoints. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the endpoints are the easiest because I think everybody out there who manufactures the sensors could be construed as saying, yeah, we have a safe endpoint. But it's not up to us. It's up to who you're working with integration. It's up to who you're working with hardware and platform. It's up to who you're working with the apps, right? So it's only a small part of the ecosystem and the considerations. And I know we're kind of running out of time, so I don't want to start a new thread. This is something we definitely need to continue our conversation on.
Yeah, no, I think this is not the only show we'll be doing in IoT. Certainly, the folks who listen to our show are absolutely interested. And again, if there's a topic we haven't covered, feel free to drop us a note on our website at gigsv.biz. That's G-I-G-S as in Silicon, V as in Valley.biz.
Or you can call us at toll-free 888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX. And, you know, this is one of those situations, Keith, where I think, you know, from the therapeutic perspective, I feel a lot better than I did at the beginning of the second segment, because I think, you know, having the four considerations of looking at where this conference actually spoke yesterday, and really understanding what it is that the industry itself with 2,500 startups know about today or know that they need to consider to get to the industry trade considerations, the regulation and financial aspects of this, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about in the future.
Yeah, and I like to your point, I think that the fact that the IoT incubator is so advanced in thinking about these things for the companies that are starting up, that's really important, because again, back to, you cannot not think about regulations anymore.
Yeah, because the insecurity is there, period. All right. So thanks for joining us. It's been a real pleasure talking about IoT today. And we'll see you again next week, or we'll have you listen in again next week. If you have any questions, give us a call. That's Guardian Insights, gigsv.biz, gigsv.biz, or toll-free 1-888-388-6739. See you again next week.
You've been listening to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. For questions or comments about today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. And be sure to listen again next week at this time for more Guardian Insights right here on this station.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.